Happy New Year, everybody. Or is it too late to say that now? I mean, who cares? It doesn't matter. It's 2025, and welcome to episode 10 of Hidden Mentality. Like always, if you're enjoying the show, give it a rating, subscribe, like it, all that garbage. Anyway, I'm going to keep it short this time. Let's get into the episode. Today, we have William Diggs, or Will Diggs, also known as Will Keep It Real. He is a motivational social media influencer and online mindset coach. Since October 2022, he has gained over 500,000 followers on TikTok and Instagram, creating content that helps others find inner peace, embrace challenges, and recognize their self-worth. His ultimate goal is to inspire people to become the best version of themselves. Through his coaching and content, Will addresses real-life struggles, helping individuals break free from false realities and take control of their lives to make them what they want them to be. How do we truly move on from the people and things we've outgrown? In this episode, we explore the deeper lessons behind loss, forgiveness, and personal growth. Why do some people fail to see your worth, and how do you know when it's time to stop fighting for a relationship? We'll discuss what it means to truly forgive, how to heal unacknowledged pain, and why loneliness shouldn't pull you back to what no longer serves you. Discover how to commit to letting go, navigate rejection from those who resist your transformation, and understand the hidden reasons people come into our lives. Join us for 5 powerful lessons on moving forward with strength and clarity. Like always, with that being said, please help me welcome Will Diggs. Yes, Will, welcome to the show.
What's up, Rishi? Yeah, man, I appreciate you guys for having me on the show. You know, I'm looking forward to a great conversation, being able to learn some things, hopefully from yourself and from each other.
Oof, I feel a bit of pressure now, but I've obviously been following your content for a while, which for me, this episode is an extra bit more special for me. And I wanted to lay out this episode because it's a bit special. I want to talk about 5 lessons I've learned from you, and I took them as quotes. But I think before I wanted to get into the quotes, there's this important question which I wanted to ask you, and let's get right into it. Is loss inevitable in our lives?
I would say yes. I think loss, we're going to continuously lose people. People are going to continuously come in and out of our lives. People are going to continuously, you know, become distant and things like that. And so I think loss is inevitable. We all obviously leave this earth one day. And so I would say, yeah. So I think you have to learn to be self-dependent because people are never guaranteed.
You use the word self-dependent there. Why is it important to accept that loss is inevitable and for us to become self-dependent?
Because I think if you carry the expectation that people will always be around you, then you'll become quickly disappointed and you're setting yourself up to be in a bad position in life. Like, if we carry the expectation that people are always going to believe in us, people are always going to support us, people are always going to be by our side, people are always going to show up for us in the times in which we may need help and things like that, I think if we become dependent upon other people or we need other people in order to be okay, when people don't show up as we want them to show up or as we need them to show up, then it puts us in a position to, you know, be without or lack in life or be in a bad position, whether that's depression, whether that's just not being able to move forward and things like that.
Do you think self-dependence, here's why I'm a bit confused, right? Like, I think I struggle with, not self-dependence, but I was privileged enough and lucky enough to grow up in a friend group, like a huge friend group, and maybe sometimes now that I've transitioned to college, I struggle to prioritize the quality of my relationships rather than the quantity. And I sometimes look at that and I go, do I always need people around me, right? Like, I do feel like there is an important part of having a person to rely on. Does that make sense? I don't know.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. I think you could have dependable people around you. Like, I'm not saying to go about life independent. Mm. I'm saying to be capable of being independent or being alone if it really comes down to it. If you have relationships and people available to, you know, use as resources, which I think we should strive to have. Like, we should always strive to have a good environment around us, people we can learn from, people we can bounce ideas off of and grow with and stuff. Like, yes, we should strive to have those relationships. But say, again, they aren't guaranteed and they aren't there. I think we have to know how to operate on our own, because a lot of people out here, you know, transition to college and might struggle to have friends, make friends and things like that, or people move to different states. You don't want to be in a place where you're stagnant in life and you don't know how to make your own choices and decisions because you don't know how to be okay with yourself. And it's like you're not in this depressive hole because you don't know how to, you know, be okay on your own for the meantime.
Can I ask how you found that out?
I would say I found myself depending on others for a lot of different parts of myself, whether that was other people's validation in order to feel like I was capable of being loved or feel like I was good enough as a person. And then when certain relationships ended, certain people decided they wanted nothing to do with my life, you know, I saw the impact it had on me. It made me lose track of my own goals. It made me lose touch with myself. I caught myself begging and questioning and, you know, where did I go wrong? What's wrong with me? It just put me in this very depressive state. My self-esteem was majorly low. My self-worth was down. I had no boundaries, no self-respect. I was in a place where I was just trying to accept anyone at that point rather than actually paying attention to, like you said, the quality of people I was letting into my life. And so right then and there, I was like, I never want to allow other people's actions and decisions and things out of my control to basically take a control over me.
Mm. You ever heard of the Lonely Chapter by Alex Hormozi?
I've heard of it. I haven't like watched it, but yeah, I've heard of it where it's like, I think it's, he kind of explains like there's going to be a point in your life where you're focused on your purpose or like goals and things like that, where you're literally, it's just going to be you pretty much.
Mm. Yeah. It's the fact that your friends right now aren't the people that you typically would want later in your life, and the friends that you want to be friends with aren't going to come into your life. So you're literally in this gray phase where you're focused on self-development, self-improvement. You want to become the person you are, or you want to be, but the people that you want to be friends with, they come at a later stage. So you're in this zone by yourself, and it's a tough zone. And I feel like what you just described is the Lonely Chapter.
Yeah, I would say so. It's like outgrowing the people who have led you to where you were, which is not where you want to be. Mm. But then you're not good enough or at the stage of your growth to where you can be with the people who are ideal for your ideal self.
All right. I think I want to get into my first lesson, which I learned from you, and I'm going to read it out and you let me know what you think.
Cool.
You will never be treated according to your value by the people who don't care to see it.
Mm-hmm. I would say not everybody is capable of seeing your value and your worth. And so if people don't see the importance of having someone around them who can communicate, having someone around them who's emotionally intelligent, having someone around them who has respect for themselves and boundaries and things, if people don't see the value in those things, then they'll always just treat you basically according to what they value and, you know, however they care to treat you. It's like if they don't see the value in valuable things and valuable characteristics of a person, then they won't treat you according to it.
How do you know that there's people in your life that aren't treating you according to the value?
Hmm. I would say in how people fight for you through the tough moments. I feel that if you truly provide value to people's lives, or you're truly impacting people's lives in a valuable way, then they'll do their best to keep you around. It's like, if I understand how important you are to my life, I won't just let one argument completely ruin our relationship. Like, that's something I'm going to fight for, because I understand that's something I truly care about. That's something I truly want in my life. I understand who you are as a person. I'm not going to allow a temporary moment to just make me give all of that up. It's that kind of thing. I would say respect is a big thing. You know, you're going to show respect and care towards the things in which you care about and value. You know, I'm going to treat my camera with care because it's a $900 camera. I'm going to treat my mother with care because my mom has had a huge impact on who I am today. You know, it's literally just like that. If something holds a lot of value to you, you're going to do your best to ensure that you're able to keep it around.
There's going to be people in our lives who will continuously look for an excuse to leave us.
I wouldn't say are looking for an excuse. I would say they literally just don't see your value. And like, what you provide to their life is like something they overlook. It's something they aren't mindful of, so they're reckless towards it, whether that's in their own selfish desires, whether that's in, again, just how they treat you and whether they keep their word towards you, whether they communicate with you, whether they fight for you. I think that's kind of what it is. I wouldn't say it's an excuse. I would say it's the mindfulness and the intention in which they move within that relationship.
Can you explain that a bit more? What do you mean about the mindfulness and intention?
I would say, again, I would be more cautious of how I treat the things in which I value. Again, I'm mindful and intentional about how I treat my car, how I treat my camera, how I treat my mom and my parents, how I treat my close friends. Whereas I may not be as mindful to someone who's an acquaintance, or that I value as an acquaintance or a stranger and things like that. Like, I'm not as mindful and as caring as to how my actions impact them.
How'd you stop caring about the people, like the people's opinions that don't really matter to you? Like, I feel like as humans, and especially me, like I have an issue with this. Even the people that aren't super close to me, when they have a judgment about me, I care about it so much. Like, I want to like prove everyone wrong. But then at the same time, I'm like, hold on, Reesh, like, what are you doing? Like, there's going to be people who are hating on you. But at the same time, I can't get over that hurdle that like that person's opinion, or that person who's judging me, or that person trying to bring me down. Like, they have maybe a different intention towards me, but like, I just can't get over the hurdle that like, I need to prove them wrong. How'd you do that?
I kind of started to understand nobody knows me better than I know myself. And so I feel like when you have a good understanding of who you are, other people's opinions and thoughts towards you can't really impact you because you know yourself so well. It's like, somebody can't tell me, oh, I'm lazy, or I have a terrible work ethic, or, you know, I'm not good at something, or I'm not good enough, or something like that. Like, they can't tell me those. I mean, they can tell me those things, but they don't really impact me because nobody knows me better than me. I'm with myself 24/7. I constantly self-reflect. I constantly have learned to accept the negative parts of myself, the positive parts of myself. I know the person in which I built myself into. And so people can only judge you from what they know of you. And people only get small dosages of you. Some people may have an opinion about me based off the minute of me they see on their camera every single day. People might think I'm perfect. People might think I have my mental health completely under control, my mindset completely under control, because that's all they see of me. That's the only dosage they see of me. And so people will get dosages of you. Maybe it's an hour at class. Maybe it's a couple hours at a party, and they can come to conclusions about you. But at the end of the day, I'm not defined by the 3 hours you see of me. And so, you know, you're trying to define me off that little bit of time you've spent or seen of me, when in reality, that doesn't represent who I am as a person, because there's a lot more to me. But I know that side of me, so your opinion doesn't really affect me. And as far as trying to prove yourself or prove people wrong, I think you just have to let go of that. I think a lot of us feel or expect everybody to like us. We try and justify who we are to everybody because we want everybody to see us positively. We want nobody to have any type of trouble with us. And so we try our hardest to explain ourselves, prove ourselves, get people to change their opinions about us. And all it does is bring us our own internal suffering. And so I had to learn to just become okay with the fact that not everybody's going to like me. Not everybody's going to be right with me. And you have to become okay with being misunderstood because you understand that you understand yourself.
Wow. You have to be okay. Say that last part again. You have to be okay to be misunderstood.
You have to be okay with being misunderstood and people not knowing you as a person and being wrong about you, basically, because you understand that you understand yourself.
Okay, damn, that was deep, bro. That actually hit right in my heart.
Yeah.
All right, lesson number two. It's okay to fight for people until it's not.
Yeah, it's okay to fight for people until it's not is really a phrase that I kind of learned from fighting for people in which I value, fighting for people in which I cared about, had a lot of love for. I'm a fighter. If I value you, I'll show it. And so if things go left, if it's a hard time, I'm going to visibly fight for you. Like I'm a person who I try my absolute hardest to not allow my ego and my pride to get in the way of me showing I care about the things in which I care about. I feel like a lot of people, they let their pride and their ego stop them from fighting for the relationships that are actually important to them. They're just afraid to show it's important to them because they're trying to get a one up or not showing they care. They're trying to be a toxic person and, you know, oh, they need to text me. Oh, they deserve to hit me up first. You know, I didn't do anything wrong. Now, I try and put all of that shit aside and be like, I care about this and I'm going to show I care for it because I'm not going to lose it behind my own pride and ego trying to get in the way. But I think there comes a point in time where you have to realize this is no longer worth fighting for because I'm the only one in the ring fighting for it. And that really just means like when it starts disturbing your peace, taking over your mental completely, like overwhelming you mentally, and it seems to be all your life is revolving around and things like that, you're trying your hardest to like show you care and fight for it, but then that energy is not being reciprocated back to you, then you have to know when to let go and just let it be and no longer put that energy into it, no longer, you know, continue holding on to the hope of what could be, you know, just letting the situation be what it is right now in that moment.
I recently felt like I was fighting for someone in a relationship, like whether it's a friend or not. But for the past year, there was, not to get too deep into it, but someone that I cared about a lot, it became evident that there was something in my control that I could have fixed in the relationship. And there was a decision that I had to make, and maybe I made the wrong one, but evidently the relationship was in my hands and I felt like I was fighting for it forever. And as much as I cared about that person so much. There was a point where it felt like there was a massive weight on my shoulders. And when I stopped fighting, as much as it killed me that I potentially lost this person in my life, it also felt like the weight had been lifted off my shoulders, which kind of broke me, and I felt like, which broke me and helped me at the same time, because it felt off knowing that I lost someone that I truly cared about, that I saw, you know, when I get married down right next to me, or, you know, like that at least would be there for the next 20 years of my life. But that, I'm reflecting now, in the last 3 months of our relationship where I was continuously fighting for this one person, it wasn't the right relationship. And I think that's the feeling that I got, or like there was a particular moment when maybe I knew that it was time to let go and I just couldn't let go. How do you capitalize on that moment where you need to let go and actually take that decision?
How do we capitalize on that moment?
I guess when our subconscious hits and potentially we know that we may need to let go, how do we actually commit to that moment and actually let go properly?
I feel like hope is the number one thing that keeps us in places that are no longer for us, and fighting for the things in which we feel are for us. The hope of what could be, the hope of what once was and we think we could get it back to, the hope that if we do these set amount of things, then eventually it will be reciprocated, the hope that eventually this person will come to their senses and change and they just need some time. We hold on to a lot of possibilities of what could be, and that keeps us around for longer than we need to be. I feel like I always say, when something brings more chaos into your life than it does peace, then that's when it's time to let go. And sometimes that's not clear, because oftentimes if we're fighting for something, it's because we want it in our life. And so because that's our goal and our agenda, we're going to look for any and everything to basically support that belief. It's almost like one of the famous quotes from Tony Robbins is that you experience the life in which you focus on, or you'll always find what you're looking for, something along that. So if I'm looking for, or if I want a situation to heal itself, to be repaired and things like that, I'm going to look at every single thing that supports that. So if they talk to me, if we have one good interaction, if they like my posts, if they view my story, I'm going to basically perceive that as, oh, we're headed in the right direction. Oh, there must be hope. Oh, it may not be as bad as I thought it was. You know, we just need more time and stuff like that. But then you're overlooking, you know, the disrespect they're giving you, them not caring to communicate with you, them not caring to fight for you. It's like, you're not looking for those things. You're looking for the positives. And so it's like you develop a filter for only taking in information or only being aware of the things that support that belief or support that goal in which you're trying to achieve. And so I think we have to be able to zoom out and see the reality of what the situation is and learn to accept that. Letting go of what was familiar, what once was, what could be, letting go of who that person says they are and what actions they say they're going to do. Because when we cling on to those things, it keeps us around for longer than we should be. And so zooming out and seeing the reality, the situation for what it is. This person doesn't respect me. This person doesn't care to invest their time or their energy into the situation. This person doesn't value me like I value them. This person isn't trying to fight like I'm trying to fight. And seeing it for that and not trying to find reasons or reasoning to support the goal that you want out of the situation. It's just truly being able to accept the reality of the situation for it is. You know, I can't fix this person. I can't get this person to forgive me. I can't beg this person to be in my life. I can't force this person to see my value. All of those things, you know, just accepting them and then over time finding peace with them and then making a commitment to yourself to move forward in your life without the expectation of them ever being in it again. And I would say that's the hardest thing because some of us can't picture life without certain people to the point that it feels in the moment hard to let go because it's what we've known for so long and we don't know anything outside of life without that person. And so until we start building something new to prove to ourselves or contradict that belief that, you know, we don't need this person or we are capable of living a life without this person, then we'll always hold on to what was and never create what we want to be or create something new and all the better things that could be ahead for us, better people, better opportunities and things like that.
When we make the brave decision to let go after zooming out, how do you say goodbye? It's difficult, I feel like, to first let go of someone, but then even say goodbye. I feel like that's a difficult process for me. How do you actually get to say goodbye?
When you say goodbye, what do you mean?
I guess it's more of a confirmation to them that I'm not going to fight anymore for this relationship. Let me first ask you, is that even a confirmation worth giving to someone else?
Say no. I don't think, I feel like in giving a goodbye, we're giving that goodbye out of hope that they'll finally take us serious and realize what they're missing out on. I feel like it should just show in our actions.
So the stop in the fight is the goodbye.
Yeah. I feel like sometimes we try and I'm just reflecting now on times where I've done that myself, not necessarily a goodbye, but I've made it known, oh, I'm no longer fighting for this. Oh, I'm letting this go, like an announcement kind of thing. We're looking for some type of attention or reciprocation to it. It's like when people decide to break up with certain people sometimes or break up, threaten to break up. Some people say, oh, I'm done with this. I'm done with you, yada, yada. And then when the person says, okay, it hurts them even more because they're like, oh, you're not fighting for me. Oh, you're not doing this for me. Like they're only announcing it to them and hope that they finally want to give something back, that they'll finally start taking the situation serious or something like that. Like if you're truly committed to just letting go, you'll just go out on that journey without it being announced. It'll just be a decision you make. And then, you know, they'll realize, okay, they finally were serious. And even then, they still may not care to fight for it or care to come back to it.
Do you believe in second chances?
Yeah.
In what context?
Yeah, I was about to say, I think the context matters. I believe that we all move with an agenda of doing what we feel is the best for us, meaning that we all have our own different story. We've all been through our own experiences. We've all experienced our own pain, our own traumas. We have our own fears, meaning that the decisions in which we make, we all think they're what's best for us in that moment. Like you hear a lot of people say things like, I wish I knew then what I know now, but that's a hindsight thing. It's like sometimes we have to make certain decisions and see the results they get us in order to even realize that they were a mistake or it was the wrong way of moving about or that, you know, it wasn't what was actually best for us. That's how we learn. That's how we grow from making decisions and reflecting and saying, okay, I need to improve here because I see now where this mindset or this, what I thought was best for me, I see what it gets me. I see the damage it caused. I see how it impacts the people around me. I see the impact it has on myself. So I think, yes, we do deserve second chances and sometimes even more than second chances, because I feel like change and growth and just becoming a better version of ourselves, that's a journey of constant mistakes. That's a journey of constant trials and tribulations, or trial and error. That's a constant journey of figuring it out, basically. Sometimes with no guidance. Like, sometimes we're creating the path as we walk it. And so, in that, I think it's all about the intention in which you're moving. And if you're moving with a good intention, you know, if it's like understanding where someone is and then them saying where they're trying to get and you seeing them actually make an effort to get to that place. So you see an effort of people trying to make change in their lives. You see people trying their absolute hardest to become a better version of themselves and things like that. You know, I can respect that rather than someone who says they want to change, but then makes no effort to actually do so. They're just saying it because it sounds like the good thing to say.
And that's what fighting's about, right?
I would say that is what fighting's about, you know? Who are you, like, letting go of who someone was then and paying attention to who they're becoming and fighting for that?
I think a big part of second chances is also this element of forgiveness. And I recently saw your take on forgiveness and it hit me right here because it resonated with me. Because I had a recent situation where someone broke my trust, and it was one of those where I was waking up every day with a grudge on my mind, and it was to the point where I was ready to let go because, like we've talked about, the fight was just too much for me. And I told myself, I don't know why, maybe it was in a book I read, but I went up to them and I just said, look, I'll be honest, I do forgive you, because I think forgiveness is the first part of the healing process. And then a week later, one of my mates asked me, like, yo, Reesh, like, what do you mean you forgave them? And I was like, I'll be completely honest, like, I don't know. But I just felt like by saying I forgive you, there was a weight that lifted on my shoulders. So can I ask you, what is forgiveness?
What is forgiveness? I would say forgiveness is, like you said, allowing yourself to no longer hold on to the past decisions that people made towards you or decisions, and no longer allowing it to have a weight or a hold on you. What does it really mean to, like, forgive someone? Honestly, man, I'm not 100% sure.
And that's okay.
If I have a decision or if I have a definition for forgiveness. But for me, it just feels like letting go of the actions and the decisions people have made towards me and not holding it against them, not making it an objective of mine to always have hate towards them or always feel some type of way towards them or carry some type of animosity. But, like, you know, if someone made a decision towards me, that's a decision they made, and I'm just going to move forward accordingly, but always wish them the best. I feel like I've forgiven everyone. I don't think there's anyone I truly have any type of hate towards, or I don't wake up every day and there's hatred on my mind. Or I would say, like, forgiveness is really just finding peace with yourself with the situation or actions people have had towards you. Because I feel like when you hold on to grudges and resentment, people have a control over you. You know, has someone ever mentioned a name around you and it's completely ruined your mood? Has anybody ever walked in a room and it's completely ruined your mood because they're just in the environment? I feel like forgiveness is truly just letting go of all of that, letting go of the control you've allowed other people to have over you because of decisions that, again, were out of your control and that they decided to make. It's like getting to a point where it's like, I'm going to allow you to be who you are. I'm not going to try and change you. I'm not going to hate you for who you are. You've made your decisions. You've done what you've done. I forgive you because I want to find peace with myself and I don't want to have any animosity towards you, whether that's because for your own good, whether that's because of religious reasons and what you believe. But, you know, I don't want to feel any type of way towards you. I don't want you to have any type of control over me. So I let it go and I forgive you. Doesn't mean you get a second chance or anything like that. It just means I allow you to be who you are, do what you do. And I understand that who you are just isn't someone I care to have in my life. And I'll just move accordingly to that.
It's that Kevin Hart idea that holding a grudge is like drinking poison and hoping it kills the other person.
I think. But you're just killing yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Lesson 3. What's never healed within you is always going to repeat itself.
So that just goes to show, like, a lot of us have been through pain. A lot of us have gone through different relationships with different people that have impacted us in different ways. And sometimes we have to heal from the loss of others. But it's that process of healing and which is very uncomfortable. Because it requires us to sit in discomfort and sit in the emotions and feelings in which we hate feeling. It's like a thing where some people try so hard to get over what has truly hurt them that they never actually process what happened and how it impacted them and why it actually impacted them in that way and what actually needs to be reflected on and learned from that situation. You know, we're so quick to jump to distractions. We're so quick to jump to coping mechanisms. We're so quick to jump to feeling numb, whether that's drinking, smoking, partying, doing whatever, that we never actually address the pain that's asking for it to be acknowledged. And that's the pain of, you know, I feel abandoned. That's the pain of, I feel like somebody gave up on me. I feel like being sad. I feel like crying. I feel like, you know, I feel worthless or whatever. Like, truly addressing and sitting with those parts of yourself, those thoughts, and accepting like the reality of the situation and what all is going on instead of running away from it. Because I feel like if we never heal those parts of ourselves, then they'll continue to repeat in our future. And I say that as in, we'll run away from situations in which trigger those feelings or emotions that we never handled. So we'll run away from anything that could possibly bring us pain. We'll run away from any type of commitment because we never addressed it from our past situations. We'll always react out of anger because of the pain that somebody brought us in our past, and now we're in new relationships where that wound is still open.
Well, it's like what you said earlier, right? There's going to be times in our lives when you say, oh, I wish I knew that now. But then you look back and you go, well, there was opportunities where I could have learned that if I just addressed it and actually learned from my lesson. And by not addressing it and acknowledging the pain, it feels like that's where the opportunity for the lesson is being diminished. My question is the addressing and acknowledgement part, what does that process actually look like? Because someone like me, for example, my good mates know I struggle to speak about my feelings. Maybe it's just because I don't want to seem weak. I don't know what it is, but what does true acknowledgement of your feelings look like? Is it speaking about it? Is it actually like, I don't know, what is it?
I think for me, it was accepting them. Not running away from the discomfort of the situation or the fact that I actually lost something I cared about. I think that's a big thing. Like, people don't acknowledge their feelings towards the situation and what expectation wasn't met. The fact this person didn't like me back. The fact this person didn't fight for me. The fact this person didn't value me. You know, it hurts. And we have to acknowledge what I wanted out of the situation, I didn't get. And now I have to accept the reality of what is. A lot of people tend to question their worth, question a lot of different things about themselves because they basically try and figure out the role they played in getting the result of that situation or getting that outcome. They see, what decision did I make that made this go wrong, or what has led me here, basically. And I feel like it's truly allowing yourself to learn from the situation, face the pain, which might look like crying, which might be sitting with those dark thoughts that might be there for a little bit. It's just like sitting with, allowing yourself to process all the emotions that kind of wave through. Those feelings of being, again, abandoned or given up on, or sadness or disrespected and things like that. And I feel like to process them is to just understand why you even feel that way. Like, what did you value? What expectation, again, wasn't met? Stuff like that. So
the next lesson is probably my favorite, to be honest, just because maybe it's my favorite because it hit recently to me, but don't allow your loneliness to be an excuse to reconnect with the reasons you became independent in the first place.
I feel like a lot of people, again, we lose people. Losing people is inevitable. And sometimes we lose what was comfortable to us. And it's almost like we try and find happiness in the places that initiated our suffering. So we try our hardest. We think that this place that once brought us happiness to our life, that now brought us to suffering, now that I'm without it, I'm going to go back because that's what I know, or that's what I was comfortable with. And so it's like, we get lonely and we feel some type of way, and we allow our thoughts to take over to, well, maybe if I do this, they'll come back around. Like, again, we kind of get engaged back in that hope, and we get engaged back with people who we know aren't good for us deep down, but they're able to fill that void of us being alone. It's like, I'd rather be with this person who can fulfill me temporarily and bring me these temporary feelings, or fulfill these temporary feelings that I feel I need, even though it'll also bring me pain in the end. But at least I won't have to face that discomfort of being alone. And so again, we overlook all the bad parts or the bad things behind our decision to engage again with people, all to fill a void that we haven't learned how to deal with for ourselves, which again goes back to your first point, why it's so important to learn to be alone. Because some people are so uncomfortable with being alone that it makes them afraid of making the wrong choices that might result in them losing people and things like that. It's like they lose track of their own different, they lose track of their boundaries. They lose track of treating themselves according to their worth and their value, all because they haven't learned how to be alone.
I recently had an alumni kind of thing from high school, just like a year reunion. And I started this podcast back in October as a form of like my self-development journey over the last 5 months, because I was really trying to learn about myself and I wasn't the person I wanted to be just yet. And I spent the last 5.5 months like cutting down certain tendencies, taking away habits. And then when I went back in London this December and I saw the people that, by the way, which I still love, like I have nothing against them. It's just that I'm on a different journey now. But when I saw them, that 1 hour, every tendency that I worked for 5 months to get rid of, the topics that I hated speaking about before, it just came back in a flash. And now I left that alumni hour and I was like, Rish, you worked so hard for those 5 months. And I don't know if you ruined it, but it just came back within a second. It just felt like the nostalgic setting of seeing everyone that I knew I was on a different journey to just let me go. And maybe it's because there are people that I expected that were going to be in my lifetime, and turns out they're only going to be there for a season, and I just couldn't sit in peace with that. So my old self sort of just came out, and I'm scared that every single time I enter a nostalgic setting, I'm going to succumb to the standards that I'm trying to build. How can I solidify my standards and the fact that, like, when I go back, every time I come back to London, I'm not going to succumb to my standards?
Well, I guess question, what made you step outside of who you are now from that situation? You know, are you ashamed of being who you are now? Are you afraid that that version of you won't be accepted, or that they'll view you differently and not want to associate with you, or, you know, something like that? Like, that might be showing up in how much you even promote your podcast. Like, I know for a while, well, no, I've always promoted my podcasts or my videos, which made certain people question me as a person because they never saw that side of me. And so it was like a thing of, it was new to them. And they weren't always necessarily willing to accept that version of me. I actually want to write that down. No, it's like,
that's cool.
I thought about this. I thought about it before, but I can't remember fully what it was. It's like something along, like, people won't always accept a new version of you, and they'll only see you for who you once were. It's something along that line.
No, because you're right. I walked into that alumni event, and bro, like, because I started this podcast within the last 2 months and no one had seen me, the amount of times people were like, yo, hidden mentality, hit him. I'm like, yeah, it's nice, but obviously I know it's coming from a different light. And I feel like he called me out, because the way I'm promoting my podcast, like, I know I'm being cautious. Like, every single time I want to post a reel, I'm like, okay, well, number of friends I have on my Instagram, like, they don't know the side of me, like, they're gonna judge me right away. Like, it's as much as I want to tell myself I'm completely free of judgment, I'm nowhere near it.
It's like, as we change again, there's a sense of familiarity that people know us, like, there's a version of us that people are comfortable with and are familiar with. And so as soon as we step outside of that, it's uncomfortable to other people because they haven't learned to accept that version of us. And now that means they have to change how they interact with us in a way. And not everybody's willing to make that change. And so some people would rather criticize us for the change in which we made, or they completely would disengage from associating with us at all, because now they have to, not everybody cares to adapt to the new version of us because it doesn't fit the idea of the person that they thought we were in their head, or that they labeled us as.
And I feel like the right people in our lives would then accept that change if they knew that it was for the better of us, you know?
Exactly. Like, true friends are going to accept any version of you that's you becoming a better you.
Mm.
Or that you feel is best for you. So if I decide, like, I'm a person where I've kind of disengaged from a lot, whether that's the game, whether that was sitting on Discord, whether that was hanging out and just BSing around, doing things that were unproductive, playing basketball. I've disengaged and backed myself out of a lot of those things. And so as a result, I've lost some people, but also kept a lot. And the people that I've kept around just adapted to that version of me and learned to accept that version of me. Because they understand, you know, I'm focused. I'm not in college. I'm not, like, this is what I do. Content and stuff like that. And so it requires me to have a certain amount of dedication towards it, meaning I have to sacrifice a lot of things, and people just learn to understand that and not internalize it as, oh, Will's fake, oh, Will switched up, oh, he got followers, now he's different. Like, they didn't personalize it. They were like, he's working on himself, he's improving himself, he has different values and focuses now because he's a different age and he's grown and we're not the same 18-year-olds. And so they wanted to adapt and still accept this version of me. But not everybody's going to be willing to do that.
I think that hits with the last lesson that I wanted to bring up, which is people come into our lives for reasons that we may not be able to see now.
Mm-hmm. That, to me, that lesson just says, like, people come into our lives, and again, people leave our lives, that help us to grow, and they serve a certain purpose that in the long run we'll learn to appreciate them for being part of our story. It's like, even now, like, for me, that lesson was when I hit rock bottom due to this girl deciding to leave my life. In the moment, I hated it. In the moment, it was so much pain involved with it. In the moment, it seemed like the worst thing ever in my life and something I would hate her for, or something like that. But now in hindsight, that's the whole reason I got into content creation. That's what sparked me to start becoming more self-dependent, like we were talking about earlier. It was like, in going through all of those things with that person, it was the foundation for me becoming the man that I am today. And so now I have a lot of respect for that person. I have a lot of appreciation for that person or her being part of my story, because I understand the necessity of her coming into my life and doing the things in which she did, because it helped me to become a lot more aware of the areas within myself that I needed to work on.
Yes. You can have appreciation for even the, okay, I don't want to say negative, I think negative is a bit too much, but even the relationships that felt like drawbacks in your life.
Yeah, well it is negative. It's like, they seem like negatives in the moment, or we initially took them as negatives, or, you know, detrimental parts of our lives.
And what I've also actually realized, I'm thinking about it now, is I'm a sophomore now. In freshman year, when I was transitioning from high school to college, I was so focused on finding the people that I thought that I wanted to be friends with that I was actually struggling more to find friends. But now that I'm in sophomore year and I'm working on myself, I completely let go of the past character that I was holding on to. I'm actually finding more people that associate with me because I feel like I found my true aligned character, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what happens. A lot of us, we question what comes with being our authentic self. Our authentic self and the person that comes natural to us and that makes it easy to live and doesn't make us second guess every decision we make, and we're not questioning whether we're making the right decision, the wrong decision, if this what this person will think of it, yada yada. Like, we always think the people that we have around us now won't accept us and nobody will accept us, when in reality, on the other side of learning to be your authentic self comes the people who are genuinely for you. Because I feel like people can sense authenticity, and it's allowed me to connect with a lot more people online and in person and things like that, because I have no filter. Like, I don't change who I am when I step into certain rooms or I talk to certain people. Like, this is just me. And you can either accept me or reject me. But I think I become so confident in who I am and just like the way I carry myself and things like that, that it's like people just naturally, certain types of people naturally gravitate towards me because it's not fake. It doesn't seem forced. It doesn't seem inauthentic. It just doesn't feel stale or something like that. Like, it's allowed me to just reconnect with the genuine good people because they get a sense that they can learn from me. They get a sense that I don't try and change who they are as a person, and that as they are, you know, I'll accept them and I won't try and make them feel they need to become somebody they're not. You know, I feel like in being authentic, you just find the people who are genuinely for you, or people, there would be a certain group of people that would just naturally gravitate towards you that you won't have to feel you need a work for, force, or prove yourself to. All you have to do is just be you.
Do you think you were ever putting a mask on?
Yeah, for a while. I would say I started to take my mask off in senior year of high school when I was online and I started really realizing these people are only temporary and these people really have nothing, like, it's not worth constantly trying to be accepted by them and things like that. Because I realized at the end of the day, these people really don't care about me. I was fighting so hard to get approved by them and get them to accept me and talk to me. But at the end of the day, they really didn't care about me. They weren't the people that were going to be showing up when I asked for it. They weren't going to be the people that were in my corner when I was down and depressed and things like that. They weren't the people that were checking in on me. So why was I trying so hard to get accepted and approved by them? And I realized that from, I was class of 2021. And so I was online all year. And so for COVID, and I just saw, like, you know, nobody's texting me, nobody's calling me. These people who I thought were my friends and I was fighting so hard to be my friends, you know, in the end, they really didn't care. So why am I fighting for their validation? Why am I fighting for their approval? And so that's where I learned, I kind of made that turn to start just being me.
Yeah. And I had a similar story. And like, what I've also realized is, when I was fighting so much for the people that I was looking up to, even though they didn't really give a shit, I was neglecting my efforts to the quality relationships I had, because the people that were checking in on me, I wasn't able to give my full focus to them. And I feel like now when you let go of that need for validation from the people that you look up to, you can actually devote your time and energy towards the right people. Well, Will, I've learned a lot, I'll be honest. And I think this has actually been one of my favorite episodes. I've been asking all my guests this to end it off. What's the best advice you've ever been given?
The best advice I've been giving.
See, I'm taking a pause because I don't think about these things. Like some people walk around, they're like, what's your favorite quote? What's the best advice you've been given? And it's just not something I document. It's not something I genuinely sit here and think about and be like, oh, that's the best advice I've ever received. That completely changed my life. Like, a lot of my stuff is like self-oriented within my own journey. But...
Well, then what is the best lesson you've learned?
I would say, don't become complacent with... Don't ever become okay with not knowing. And what I mean by that is, don't ever get complacent with things being unclear, or don't ever get comfortable with not knowing, especially the things that aren't the way you want them to be. Or, okay, a better quote is, don't become complacent with things being as they are, especially when they're not the way you want them to be. And what that means is, a lot of us, we have parts of ourselves that we are aware of, but don't make an effort to fix. We just accept them. And that is, you know, we might deal with anxiety. We might deal with fear. We might deal with lack of self-love. We might deal with lack of feeling we could be our true self. And we just allow that to be. We're like, oh, I'm just an anxious person. Oh, I'm just a people pleaser. And we see how it affects us and the limits it places on us. And we just never make an effort to actually change anything about them. A big thing I learned about myself this past year was like, the things I didn't know, or I lacked clarity in knowing why I operated the way I did with certain things, or why I carried myself the way I did with certain things. You know, I would just allow it to be that. I don't know. And I wouldn't look any further into it. And I think really learning to be intentional about overcoming the limitations that we might have on ourselves that have a negative impact on our life, and making an effort to make them better than what they are. A lot of people are just okay with things not being okay, or they're okay with things being average. They're okay with things just being not good enough or below average, and they make no effort to actually put in the work to change them.
Don't settle for average.
Yeah, don't settle for average. Yeah, and don't become complacent at anything.
Love it, Will. All right, well, tell my audience where we can find you. I know they'd be like gassed to have your content right at their fingers.
Yeah, man. You can follow me on YouTube or subscribe on YouTube at Will Keep It Real. Find me on all platforms at Will Keep It Real. It'll pop up. And yeah, willkeepitreal.com, cop merch, hoodies, brand new hoodies are out. And yeah.
Hey, the hoodie's valid. I'm not even joking. Like, I'm going to get that when I go back to New York. It's cold. Right.
Appreciate that, all right, man.
Appreciate it, Will.
But yeah, man. Appreciate y'all.